Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. April is National Poetry Month. If you don't already have a poem in your pocket, we're here to help. Joining us now is Deb Lux. She's with the Rapid City Arts Council. She joins us from Rapid City today. Deb, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Lori.
And we've also got MJ McMillan. He's a rancher and poet. He is the author of Poems for the Common Man, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. MJ, welcome as well.
Thank you.
Deb, let's go ahead and start with you because you have an event coming up this weekend that sort of focuses on poetry. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. We have a quarterly event in partnership with the High Plains Writer Group here at the Doll, and it will be, the spring one will be this Saturday, April 9th at 7 o'clock in our cultural cafe, and we will be presenting readers and poets. You come in, you sign in, and then you can read in order of sign-up, and it's always a really interesting, fun night.
So give me an idea of when this started. How long have you been doing it?
Well, the High Plains Writers Group has been doing it for quite some time, but in 2013, they came to us asking for a space for their fall coffee house poetry reading, and it went so well that we became partners with them to present the quarterly events. And we call it Word for Word. It's a family-friendly event, and it happens four times a year.
So, Deb, give me an idea of who shows up. When you say family-friendly, then do you have teenagers and kids? Do they take the mic as well?
Yes, anyone is welcome to, and it's different every time. Depends on the time of year, like sometimes when we coincide with calving season, and MJ knows what I'm talking about. Sometimes some of our avid readers aren't able to come, so we try and avoid that. But, yeah, children are welcome. We've had kids as young as 9 years old come and read. Adults, we just ask for it to be family-friendly, and we ask them to keep it down to about 7 minutes.
So give me an idea of the value for the listener, Deb, and then we'll switch over to MJ here in a minute. But, Deb, tell me, you know, what do you kind of get out of it by going and just listening to somebody else take the mic and tell you something you don't even know what it's going to be?
Right. Well, spoken word is a powerful and important art form, and there aren't a lot of opportunities for people to get up and perform their art or read their poetry. And it's sometimes it's storytelling. Sometimes it's rhyming, sometimes it's rap. It's a very broad scope of spoken word, and it's usually something about your personal experience or social interaction, cultural concerns. As I said, it's very broad and very interesting, and I think it engages the reader and the audience on the same level.
What makes a good few minutes up there? How should people prepare to sort of get the most out of their time?
Well, I think it's different for everyone. Some people come prepared and they know it by heart and just recite with emotion. It's perfectly fine to just read what you've written. I think the best part is to have, you know, the most important thing is to have rehearsed it and read it and be comfortable so you have a cadence and keep it interesting.
We're going to switch over to MJ now, but I want to say thanks to you, Deb. I know you have to get back to work, so thanks for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you, and I invite everybody to come out Saturday night at 7 p.m. at the Cultural Cafe on the Kansas City Street side of the Doll Arts Center.
Thanks, Deb.
Thank
MJ
you.
McMillan, I think we're reaching you near Murdo. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Tell me a little bit about what you do, rancher and poet. Do those things fit together pretty well?
Oh, yes. I'm not a cowboy poet. I should make that clear. Although I do read at cowboy poetry events, and they seem to like my work. But as my my poetry books say, I write for the common man, which is to say, my verse is very plain spoken, no big words, no flowery phrases, no hidden meanings. And I want my work to be understood as well by the man in Maine as it is by the man in Arizona.
This sounds a little bit like the Ted Kooser philosophy after kind of reading his poetry book, that it should be understood by folks. Do you count him as someone that you have read and look up to, or who were your other influences as a poet?
I am a fan of the minor poets, what I call the minor poets, the lesser-known poets. Robert W. Service, I think his Klondike poems are absolutely the best. Eugene Field, Edgar A. Guest, I pattern my poems after them. I should say that I'm a lyric poet, which means all my poetry rhymes, and there is a large segment of the population who believes that poetry should rhyme. Much to the chagrin of the free versers, I do believe that people in their heart of hearts believe that poetry should rhyme. And
how come? What about poetry needs to rhyme for you? Why that distinction?
I think that just where we started out. The first verses we learned were the nursery rhymes, and they all rhyme. So that's where we start out, and I think that is imprinted on a lot of people. And even though it's not so much Mother Goose these days, it's more Dr. Seuss these days, it still rhymes. I mean, who hasn't heard of Green Eggs and Ham, Sam I Am? And we like that. There's something about the rhyming word that touches the human psyche. We seem to enjoy that, and once you get into it, it's like the ringing of a bell. Once you hear that, you get into that, you're waiting for that next peal of the bell. And the rhyming word is the same way. When you hear rhyming poetry, you are waiting for that rhyming word. Poetry began as a narrative, a way to tell stories and history and lore, and rhyming words made it easier for the balladeers and the poets of the time to remember the stories because they came back to the rhyming words.
Tell me a little bit about your writing life. How do you integrate poetry into your day?
Well, I began to write, I guess for me, I've always been able to do the rhyming word. When I'm working, tedious work especially, and in agriculture, there's a lot of it, your mind gets a chance to float around. And eventually it will settle on a subject or a thought. And before long, all my thoughts on that theme are coming to me in a series of rhymes. And you just write them down. I didn't for a long time. A few years ago, a friend of mine said, you know, I thought if I thought that way, you know, in rhymes, everybody else did too. And she said, no, that's not the way it is at all. What you have is a gift, and you need to stop wasting your gift and write the poems down instead of just letting them float away. And so I began to write them down, and I found that some of them were good, and some were very good.
What's it like to be a poet in South Dakota? What's the sort of poetry network or scene like?
I think poetry, for poets in general, is a struggle. I think with poetry, a lot of people don't see the value in poetry. But that's a shame. It's a great way to express yourself and to express ideas. I should say that when the economy went bad in 2008, I thought, you know, the first thing would go would be the non-essentials, so I figured my books would just sit on the shelves and grow moss. But that's not the way it was at all. My book sales never changed, and what happened was the people, when strife and trouble came into their lives, they went back to what they found comforting, and a lot of people, it was poetry. And so my book sales never changed. And
Do you have something you'd like to share with us today as sort of a last word on poetry, something that you've written?
Yes. I'd like to read, let's see, the signature poem for my third book. It's called The House in the Field. They had been dating for such a long time. Their love was strong and good. He asked her to spend her life with him, and she told him that she would. When the wedding plans were firmly set, he began to build as they'd planned. He cleared a spot in the middle of a field to build their house upon his land. Each day the house grew taller, towering over the surrounding corn, with tall white columns facing eastward to greet each coming morn. The house was big and spacious, and it cost a tidy sum. It would be their home for all their years, with plenty of room for the children to come. He rose up early that morning, the day the furniture was due. At the mailbox, he picked up the letter that told him she'd found someone new. To the furniture man, he quietly said, "Take it away. There's a change in plan." And from that day forward, the house never knew the presence of any man. He planted and harvested corn round the house every year to his very end. And the house stood tall, alone and empty, with the corn as its only friend. There was never a road built up to the door. No power lines brought light to the place. Over the years, it took on a sadness, as sad as the old man's face. No one asked him why he'd done what he'd done, and his feelings were never revealed, for he had none. His heart had grown empty as the house in the field.
MJ McMillian, thank you for that. Thank you for the goosebumps and for that wonderful poem. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you for inviting me.
MJ McMillian is a poet from the Murdo area. The book is called Poems for the Common Man. There's 3 volumes of it.